This is Courage to Resist, bringing you the voices of the troops who refuse to fight. Brad McCall joined the United States Army in August of 2006. A little over a year later, he went AWOL from his base at Fort Carson, Colorado, and made his way to Canada, joining a great many GI resistors there. Today, Brad joins us on the phone from his home in Vancouver, British Columbia. Thanks for joining us, Brad.
Thank you for having me.
So, tell us what happened in that year between your enlistment and your decision to leave the Army.
Well, it was that 1 year represents a lot for me. It was a year of pain and grief and toil, and you know, my boot camp went really roughly. I was in basic training a lot longer than a lot of people have to go through it for. And when I finally got out, I felt like I'd actually accomplished something for the first time in my life. I felt like I had really reached the peak of a great achievement for the first time. And when I arrived to Fort Carson, Colorado, my first duty station, all that feeling of achievement and everything just went to disappointment when I heard the stories that were being told about Iraq. And when I heard the stories and the details of atrocities that were being committed against innocent people in Iraq.
You were hearing those stories from GIs returning from Iraq?
Exactly, yes. And when I heard these, the first thing I did was I ran in the bathroom, and you know, I got sick to my stomach. I could not control myself. It just made me sick. And when I got done with that, I went straight to my commander and reported it to him. And he said, "Oh, well, we'll have to have a talk with the veterans and make sure they don't tell you guys these stories anymore." And that was all that was ever done about it. So from there, I really started thinking for myself for once, politically and morally and spiritually, even what my really true hardcore beliefs are. I kind of just rebelled against everything that my parents had taught me as a child and started trying to figure out what I really thought for myself. Kind of got away from that falling on the coattails of my parents my entire life. I found that I wasn't a conservative like I thought I was. I found that the war in Iraq was evil and atrocious and ridiculous. And I found that if I went to Iraq, then I would be guilty of war crimes, not to anyone else's mind necessarily, but in my mind. And for me, that was enough to draw the line and say, no, I can't go. If I knew that when I came back, I would have to live the rest of my life, if I made it back, that I'd have to live the rest of my life knowing that I had participated in an evil war for unjust reasons, I would not be able to live with myself. So I took the only step I knew how and applied for conscientious objector status. Was laughed at by my chain of command for 3 weeks while I begged and begged and begged. And finally I left, went to Canada.
Big decision and a brave decision.
Yeah, well, they say it is, but it was a no-brainer for me.
Now, these GIs, these returning GIs that you talked to, were they opposed to the war when they came back? Did they tell you these stories because they were feeling that they had participated in something that was immoral?
No, not at all. They were proud of them. They were proud of the story. They were bragging. They were totally bragging about what they had done and about what other members of the unit had done. They were laughing about it. And it was just a big joke, and they couldn't wait to go back because they enjoyed killing people.
What about your buddies in training? Were there any other brand new GIs who felt similar to the way you started to feel?
No.
So you really were all alone in this.
I was the oddball of the unit in many, many, many ways.
Did you try to talk with any of your buddies about it?
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. And a lot of guys, I mean, there were a couple of guys that thought it was a little effed up, but they were just like, whatever, it probably isn't true. They're probably just messing with our heads.
So when you made the decision to go to Canada, did you make it quickly and then just get up and go, or did you plan?
I made the final decision. I made it in one night. One day. I talked to a friend of mine in Colorado Springs. He told me about these GIs that are running to Canada, and I was like, wow, that's cool. So from there, I went to another one of my friend's houses and got on my laptop at her house, and we both looked and saw that it's very possible. We found resistors.ca on the internet, and that night I made the choice that a week later we would leave she traveled with me as just a friend, and it would be in a week, which just matter of fact was payday. So, and I knew I would need some cash to get on the road and get moving.
So you drove to British Columbia?
Yes.
And did you connect immediately with other resistors up there?
Well, initially, the first thing that happened to me when I got to British Columbia was I was arrested at the border. For that week that I was still in Fort Carson, I had email contact with Canada and with people that were willing to help me. And I didn't realize it, but my parents actually had my email password. And they were watching all this go down. And they were emailing all these emails to my commander and first sergeant. So they knew I was going to Canada.
Well, I guess I don't need to ask about support from your family for this decision.
Oh God, no. I've been disowned. But that's why I love Canada. I have nothing to go back to in the United States, so I'm very content with staying here for the rest of my life.
So you were arrested at the border?
Yes, I was arrested at the border on command of the U.S. Army by Canadian Border Services Agency. Not by U.S. services, but Canadian services. Put into a Canadian jail for 2 days until my lawyer showed up and got me out.
Now, this was a Canadian lawyer, yes?
Yes.
From a Canadian support committee for GI resistors?
No, he is just he's a young lawyer. He supports the cause. He's an immigration lawyer. And he said, the first thing he told me, he said, me helping you guys out is a no-brainer. He said, I'm not associated with the War Resistors Support Campaign or the War Resistors League or any anti-war group. I'm a lawyer by myself, and I'm helping you guys out. And he's a really awesome guy.
An unsung hero.
Yes, very much so.
So he got you out of the clink.
Yes.
And then what did you do next?
Well, while I was in jail, I filed a refugee claim stating that I was requesting to be a refugee from the United States on grounds that if I go back to the United States, I will be persecuted or legally prosecuted for my beliefs, politically, morally, and spiritually.
Right.
And so that's what I've done. I've started my refugee claim, working on that.
And what's the status of that claim right now? Where are you in the process?
Right now, it's just a claim. It has to come under review by the Refugee Board of Canada, and they will determine whether or not I am liable for refugee status. So far, there's only been two that have come up to the Refugee Board, only two claims by war resistors, and they have both been denied. They're in the appeals process right now.
This is Jeremy Hinsman and Brandon Huey.
Exactly.
Exactly. They're going to the Supreme Court, I understand.
Exactly. So, me, I'm not really expecting a victory in the way of getting a refugee status. I'm not expecting that, so I'm having to go ahead and prepare for other plans, depending on what happens.
How are you living in Canada? Tell me what your living situation is.
My living situation is excellent. I had a couple step up when they heard about me coming in. They stepped up and they took me into their house and they've told me, you're welcome here, and they basically said, we don't want you to leave.
That's an amazing story.
Yeah, and these people really, really do help me out. I mean, they give me a weekly allowance. They've given me a cell phone. They feed me every night, it's great.
Have you looked for work?
I can't right now.
Because of your
status? Because I don't have a work permit. I can get a work permit, but it takes a while. I have to go through medical examination, just a limbo, waiting for it to come back in the mail. And that can take up to between four and six months sometimes. And from what I understand, even longer than that for some people. So that's kind of, I can do some little odd jobs for the neighbors and such. And that's what I'm doing right now.
And are you working with any of the anti-war groups in Canada or with the IVAW or resistors? Or
I'm working with, I don't claim affiliation. Like, I don't claim to be a member of any one of them. Right now I'm really trying to promote unity within the anti-war movement. Because I see a problem with that. And I do help pretty much every one of them here in Vancouver that I know of so far. Yes, I'm helping out in every way that I can. I just spoke a weekend before last at a big anti-war rally here in Vancouver. And I speak and, I do whatever they need me to pretty much. So,
there are people in this country who think that the GIs who refuse to fight are cowards and deserters. But there are also a great many people who think that all of you are doing something very heroic and also very important for helping us to stop the war. So we'd kind of like to know what message you would like to send to people who hear this interview, people back in the States or anywhere else who hear this interview. What would you like folks to know from based on your experience and based on what you've done and what your position is about the war?
I want people to realize this is a new era of war, and Iraq is not going to be, if we don't stop Iraq, Iraq is not going to be the last step. It's not going to be the last frontier or whatever that the United States tries to take. It's just the beginning of a long series of wars that I can see in the future. It's not going to be pretty, and we've got to do something about it now. We have to do something about it now. And another thing I would like to say is unifying, creating a united front to fight this. There's no way that all these anti-war coalitions and pro-peace coalitions can succeed in their goal without being unified. And that's how our common enemy is, and that's how we're going to have to be. That's the one thing that's been on my mind here recently. It's just unity. That's what I would like for everyone to take from me.
Brad, thanks so much for talking with us. You're a very articulate and thoughtful young man, and we all really appreciate what you've done and what you're going to continue to do in behalf of ending this awful war.
Thank you.